Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove, between the demo and the ready room. Hey, come on out this Friday the 13th. They've got all new music, happy hour going on, records spinning. They got new vinyl in store from The Cure, The Lines, Young Magic, Devil Driver, Wolf Parade, Modern Baseball, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Greatest Hits, and all kinds of other stuff. They got a fantastic local selection as well. Come out, take a look at that. Lots of CDs, tapes, and vinyl. And if you'd like your here have some of your stuff on the shelves, contact them about that and getting some of your CDs on the shelf at Music Record Shop. For more information about any of this, find them online on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
The Brothers Reed here, coming at you from Wentzville, Missouri.
Listen to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Ooh!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Coming to you from Wentzville, Missouri. Hanging out, this is episode 220. Hanging out with the Brothers Reed. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Good to see you again, Shane.
Yay!
Big triumphant return, you know. We got highly anticipated.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
This is exciting stuff, man. You guys back in town, got the new record touring on that, and got some shows here back home, I guess, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We've made our way across from Oregon up through via Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wisconsin, North Dakota, Iowa, to get here today for the weekend in St. Louis.
Yeah. What you said, you went through like a blizzard on the way too?
Lots of rain and plenty of snow.
Yeah.
Lots of rain, about a two-hour stretch of almost whiteout in Bozeman, Montana. That made me thinking how angry I would be if I lived there.
Yeah.
This is not cool, man. It's May. It's May.
We did one of these before. That was like, I think it was like episode 102 or something like
August
that.
August 2015.
Yeah. And we sat at Highway 40 Brews, and there was like a crying kid in the background the whole time.
That was Phil.
Yeah, that was Phil.
Yeah, he was crying and talking at the same time.
That was a lot of fun. And then, so you guys are going back to Highway 40 Brews though, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're playing a house concert Saturday night.
Yeah.
At 5 p.m. The event details are on Facebook if you're interested. And then Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, we're playing 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. with local legend Joe Bozzelli and a band called Maury Avenue.
Yes.
Joe Bozzelli of Take Me to New Melly fame.
Yeah. Follow Me to New Melly.
Follow Me to New Melly. That's right.
Idiot.
Close enough.
Whatever.
Close enough.
I'm an idiot now.
Yeah, we can edit that out in post.
Good.
We have a text.
Actually, just keep everything we just said.
Right.
Yeah. Even about the editing.
Joe's become a good buddy too, man. I've been, I was supposed to be here today. We talked, but then it was a little miscommunication, so didn't work out. But, he'll be there playing some of his stuff, and should be a good little Sunday fun day, man.
Heck yeah.
Hanging out.
Joe's got a big voice and a huge heart.
Yeah.
Huge heart.
Huge. Yeah.
And if you've never been to Highway 40 Brews, there's, 40 beers on tap.
Yes, there is.
So come thirsty.
Yes, come thirsty.
Yeah.
Except for Phil. Don't be thirsty.
Yeah. Go Blues.
Yeah.
Yeah, go Blues.
There you go. so So I was listening to the new record, Monster in My Head, which you guys played three of the songs off that record the last time you were on.
Indeed.
A little sneak peek before. So we, but now the record's done, and you guys are out here touring for it. I was listening to it, though, and like, man, it's like a lot going on there, like a lot of different sounds. There was like even like some reggae kind of feel to some of the stuff, like Figure It Out and with I'll Be Singing, like
there's a little, Mary Mary,
yeah, a little reggae going
indie on. Reggae, yeah. Old timey country, folk,
so I like it. You know, it's got a lot of influence, a lot of variety and sound, and you know, I like a dynamic to a record like that. So
nice. Good.
So, yeah, I was really digging it. It sounded really good, guys.
Thank you.
And of course, you guys played Mr. Doe on the last last time you were here, and it's just a beautiful song. I really like that one a lot as well. So it was good to hear. You know, it's cool to hear the studio version now. So what? Where we record that one at, Beck?
We did that one also, like Sick as Folk. We did all the engineering and production and mixing and all that stuff. The only thing we don't do is master. But so this record was recorded by us, but at my new house.
Okay.
So it's definitely it was funny because it's acoustically treated differently, that house, you know.
Right.
And it actually was more of a struggle getting the sounds we wanted out of it. We got what we wanted out of it, but it just took a little more effort, where the space we recorded it, the first record in, just so naturally, we didn't really have to mess with mic placements.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to get too nitty-gritty with it. On this one, we were building fortresses of blankets in the bathroom to get a dead sound so we could record acoustic guitars. You know, we, for vocals, built like a soundproof, where we didn't build it, I bought it. It's like a soundproof box around the vocal mic.
Yeah.
You know, so you sang into this box, essentially. So we got what we wanted out of it, for sure. It just took a little more effort.
Sure.
And then with all the extra stuff on it, too, and being 16 tracks, it was an endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is there any, like... I got friends, they're talking about like renting out a old church and recording in there and stuff, and like doing their next album and stuff, and then like Black Keys, like Rubber Factory, like actually recorded in an old Rubber Factory and stuff. I mean, is there any, you know, talking about recording in the house and things, like, do you ever feel like that part of the record at all, like where like it influences, I mean, besides the work you put into creating the sound, but
it definitely, I mean, the nice thing about recording in your house is you have this super relaxed atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't feel rushed on anything. You don't feel like, oh, I have this limited amount of time with this place. Sometimes with recording, you can start to overthink things, you know, and in the house, you can afford to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just redo it, and you're not even having to worry about where it was done or anything like that. Which works for us really well. You know, obviously, if you're like the Black Keys and you have like a, you know, $250,000 budget for your record, you know, or less, and you can bring in, you know, Neve boards and old Neumann mics that cost $10,000 and have just amazing tone.
Right.
Then, yeah, there's something to be said, especially nowadays. I feel like records, really, people listen to music more for how it sounds than what the content is necessarily. Like, it doesn't really matter what you're saying as much in a song as far as popular music goes. It more matters, like, tonally what's there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that and knock it out and have the gear to do that, we have to manipulate our stuff, I think, a little more.
Sure.
than other people.
One thing I'm wanting for the next record is definitely to do more of the piano tracks on an acoustic piano.
Yeah.
That was all digital before, but I grew up playing acoustic, and that's kind of where most of the feel comes from for me.
So yeah,
we'd like to just mic up a nice Baby Grand or something real nice, and then and shoot the tracks like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I really do. I did like the piano on this, right? Like Jake's song, right?
Yeah.
And like
I don't know, just the piano, like I said, the piano sounds great like it is, but I think the acoustic piano would sound really nice on, give it another sound on the record, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, so we guys want to play something from it?
Please believe me when I tell you, never meant you no harm. Like a songbird who couldn't find his tune, was not worth it to go on. That don't mean that I resent my life, thankful for all I've learned. And I remember you in the love you gave, and I remember you when I'm gone. Please don't cry in my name, I won't leave you alone. Love is something that you can't escape, even after you're gone. I ain't never gonna tell you what I did wasn't wrong. We all suffer in different ways. Well, my suffer was strong. Please don't cry in my name, I'll leave you alone. Love is something that you can't escape, even after you're gone.
Unless we get like really crazy and decide that we want to put another one out, because we have all the material for the next record.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to wanting to play catch up with it, to where it's like we get everything recorded that we have. Because what will happen is like we're recording the last record, and by the time we were even recording, we like had the material for the next one. So I kind of like get out there, so it's like you've got it out. And then you know what you're writing fresh is going to go on the next thing, to where it's now it's like, we're getting to the point where anything that's getting written now is going to be on the record after the next record. And
yeah.
Like we gotta nip that problem in the butt.
Yeah.
Just get it all out there and then pick what the best thing is and then make the record.
Sure.
Instead of necessarily even recording everything that we write.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Everything I've been hearing, that all sounds great to me, so maybe just keep recording them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this, I mean, like I said, we have the Sick as Folk album and now Monster in My Head, both albums available digitally on Spotify and iTunes and things, right?
The brothersreed.com is the best place to get it because then nobody touches any cut of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, go right to the source.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, physical album, physical copies on the website as well.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So yeah, grab those and then keep an eye out. Hopefully, more coming down the pipe. So, but yeah, that sounded really good. So, who wrote that one then?
I wrote that one. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I know we kind of talked about how you guys both write a lot and things, and so it's interesting to you know who wrote which part and things like that. And,
yeah.
Any particular story influence that at all, or?
It's kind of a common theme I've been dealing with lately of just like trying to decide what life is really about and what I should be doing right now and what's the point, you know? And just really struggling with that. So just putting some words to that.
Yeah.
That idea, I guess.
Definitely. So are you guys you guys doing any like festival stuff this summer or?
Yeah, we do have some festival stuff.
At the end of this tour, we're going back to Seattle to play Northwest Folk Life.
Okay,
and that's a pretty big one. We're excited for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the next festival-ish thing we're doing.
Right.
You know. Yeah, and then we actually this summer are finding ourselves with like a ton of private gigs, which is great.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of really awesome for us. It can be weird trying to book or play in bars or any very social situation. You know, we really, it's, I feel, only way that does us justification is seeing us in, like, an environment where people are there to just listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what they came for, which we don't fault anybody for not listening sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's whatever. It's totally fine. But yeah, so... We've got all these private gigs, which people listen at.
Yeah, know? Definitely. I mean, you know, we were talking about you guys are playing a house show on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and like I think that's like awesome. I've only been able to do that a couple times. Go to see. I saw this guy Kevin Gordon. I like at a house show, and it was just such a really a cool experience. Like to see him, you know. 10 foot away, in somebody's living room, hanging out and like and playing guitar, and then they did like a little like potluck dinner kind of thing.
Yeah, where everybody, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, everybody bring a dish deal, and then we jammed. We had some dinner, and then we went back and played some more, and then we got to hang out and I get meet him and all this stuff. It's just a really unique experience compared to going to a venue or anything or a bar or whatever. But I think. Like you're saying, it creates the ideal listening environment where you can, take away the ball game or the bar, and all the stuff you create where people are here just to hear these songs and create that nice listening room experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little bit of that going on here in St. Louis. There's a room in Maplewood now called the Focal Point.
Okay.
And it's sort of like I haven't actually made it there, but some of my friends have been playing there, and it just hasn't worked out my scheduling wise to make a show there. But they do like an in the round kind type of type of stage, and just everything I've heard and seen from about it like sounds like such a really cool experience. So it was something I really need to. I want to go and support because I want more listening room type of experience around here. So
heck yeah,
that sounds awesome.
House concerts are like definitely the most fantastic thing to come our way lately. We've been playing quite a bit, and it's like people that are going to them very often are going to like find something new. Sure. You know, they're not, it's like they're going there to do that, to listen to, and that's what they want to do. You know, the foods aside, beers aside, all that stuff aside. Yeah. Like that's what they're there for, you know, and they don't know you, so it's not like they're like family or friends supporting you, which is always really awesome too, you know, but that it only gets you like so far.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
I have this friend that was on the show a little while back, and she's out of Columbia area named Thaycuff, and she plays a harp, and granted for her type of music, and especially with the harp, it's hard to you know to do a lot of stuff in a bigger stage level, you know, in a venue and things. Like, I mean, it works. It's something, but you have to have people that are there for it. You know, it's like it's not something you can just put her in a bar setting and people are going to listen and stuff. It's just hard to do that. So listening rooms are great for her, and she does these. She did went to like in Kansas City. There's like a some kind of folk alliance.
The big thing.
Yeah. It's like a 3-day.
Yeah, so she went there, and she said that she met with all kinds of people that come there. That have house concert series
just to book the artists there.
They'll fill their entire calendar that year, you know, for at the one weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gets a lot of gigs out of that. And like, so I think that's.
Yeah, we want to do that next year. We've talked to a few house concerts that will only book if they saw you there.
Yeah.
That's the only circumstance, you know, so it's something we need to definitely
into. Maybe, if you can book a whole summer of house concerts out of that one weekend, that sounds like a pretty good deal. So.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What else we got to play?
Do you want to do? This is another new one. I'm gonna play this intro until Phil gets his harmonica ready. Picking strings is what I know, it's all I am and then some more. Water clouds above the trees hang steady in the mountain breeze. Normally I would telephone, but in times like these I write a song. Tell you I'll be heading home with the rain coming in. There'll be times when I will love you, times when we will fight. The only time that is for certain is the time until we die. Yeah, there's more to life than waiting, so I think it's time to fly. Baby, I got you right by my side. Lord only knows where I'm going, and I only know where I've been. You only know what I say out loud. We don't know a thing about holding in. There'll be times when I will love you, and there'll be times when we will fight. Time it is for certain is the time until we die. Yeah, there's more to life than waiting, so I think it's time to fly. Baby, I got you right by my side. And the road is clear from here. And we paved the way, my time to fly. Baby, I got you. Baby, I got
Yeah, man. Sounded great, guys.
Thanks,
I almost feel like, you know, like a, it was especially with the harmonies and stuff, but like an Eagles or something, you know, just that classic rock type of feel to that a little bit. Like, I don't know. Yeah, sounded really good. So that'll be on the third upcoming record. So,
mm-hmm.
So we got the two. We got the summer tour still. What else we got going on the tour? We got
St. Louis for these two shows, or Wentzville, and then we've got Kentucky, Ludlow, which is right outside of Cincinnati, and then we go to Pittsburgh, New Jersey, right outside of Atlantic City. Both those are house concerts, and then New York City and the Lower East Side at the Rockwood Music Hall. And then we have 2 days to get to Nashville, and we play there. And then we have 2 days to get home, where we have a string of gigs at a casino at home. And then we have that Monday, Memorial Day, we'll be in Seattle for Northwest Folklife.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, you got some, putting some miles in.
Oh, yeah, we're all over the place. We've been, it's so funny, though, just so far what we've seen this year is pretty nuts, you know, and then we're just going to keep heading east, too. But we've, you know, we were in Yosemite like 3 weeks ago playing a wedding, and then we've been all over Southern California. We're all over Arizona, you know.
San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco, Bay Area, all over Washington. It's just, been doing the deed for sure.
You guys ever thought about I don't even know how to even go about it, but like, selling any of the songs at all, or
somebody wanted to offer us a bunch of money, I'd sell it.
I don't know how you like. I mean, I guess you're just playing them out like that, but enough people hearing them. But I just wonder how I like a good. We become friends from following them around several years. But I have a friend Will Hoag. He lives down in Nashville now, but he wrote that song "Even If It Breaks Your Heart" that Eli Young Band made a number one country single and stuff. So like, and it's kind of like I prefer his version so much more over theirs. Like just because you know from him, it's like it's got the soul to it. And, you know, you can feel it when he sings it. And, but like everybody was talking. You know, a lot of people said that they were Will Hoag fans, and then they were like, and he's like, yeah, but that one song put my kids through college now, so like you make enough money off of especially when it goes number one like that.
And, totally.
So
there's no shame in making $1 million writing a song.
Yeah, right.
Without having to do anything beyond that.
Sure.
The band's having to tour. Right. They're having to sit in the recording studio, you know, they're having to do all this stuff. You write it and just get paid, then geez.
Yeah.
No shame in it.
Right. Yeah. He actually the second part of that story he told me. Didn't tell me. He told the story on stage when I saw him. I think the last time through. And it's one of my favorite parts of his show is that he's a great storyteller on stage. You know, he told the story about that. You know, after that song went big for Eli Young Band, they invited him on tour to write some more stuff together, co-write and. And then, so at the time, Eli Young Band was on tour with Kenny Chesney, and they were playing these just like massive, you know, amphitheaters and all this stuff. And like, and he was saying that they, you know, like here they were here in St. Louis, and they played like the, you know, Riverport, whatever, for 40,000 people, and then went to like Chicago for 50,000 people, and Detroit, and like whatever, you know, it's just like all these huge crowds. And Will's used to playing smaller shows and you know bars and things where, you know. And his crowd and stuff. So it's like, so he said what a crazy experience that was going to play a, you know, an amphitheater of 40,000 people singing your song back to you, you know, and everybody knows every word to the song. And then he's like, but he said he's like back there, like, you know, when he was out there, the Eli Young Band invited him on stage to like play some guitar on the song or, you know, the background and stuff there. Yeah. So he's up there playing guitar, and he's like, man, I wrote this motherfucker, you know. Just made me laugh so hard. Like, it was just such a cool way to look at it. Like, you know, just he's still, you know, very proud, but it's like, I mean, I can't imagine That's just unreal to think about that many people just singing your song to you like that. And
no, that's a very unique opportunity for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how I mean, I don't know if it's just somebody hears you play it all of a sudden and decides to buy it. I know there's like a, you know, for songs like that, there's like a certain formula that I guess like the last one we played could fit starting into that kind of thing. But a lot of what we do is I don't know if it's really... sell, because I know pop country is a big thing that people sell their songs to.
Yeah,
and but you, it's kind of like when I listen to pop country, it's just it's so formulaic. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just so if it's not that thing, it's not there. It doesn't matter how good it is, you know, because they want this certain kind of thing with like a hook and blah 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 and on there. And that's just what it is.
Those guys are all that's a business. You know, like look at guys like Jason Aldean and Blake Shelton or whatever and all the, you know, these guys, I mean, they might have started out writing and stuff, you know, years ago, but now they have to have a new record every, 9 to 12 months or whatever, get out there, have a new, you know, out there touring all the time and stuff, so it's like, so they just buy up all the songs they can to put on a record and make the, you know, the 15 best songs they can find and stuff. But there is a movement though. I think there's enough people sick of pop country that are kind of like you got guys like Chris Stapleton blowing up now, and you got Jason Isbell and you got Sturgill Simpson. You know, you got the guys that are kind of bringing this kind of outlaw country back a little bit. You know, this little more roots country.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I really like Sturgill Simpson. That stuff's so good.
Yeah. He's a bad dude. That you heard that new album yet?
No, I keep seeing the advertisements for it.
I haven't got to listen to it yet either, but I did hear he did a Nirvana cover in Bloom on there.
Wow.
And like, I don't know, it's awesome. Like, it's, you know, if nothing like the original, obviously. There's such a unique orchestration to it and stuff. Like, for him, like, and that's what I like about it. It's not like, you know, he does a lot more than just sticking to. That country stuff that his voice definitely lends that, but I mean, there's so much on this record. It sounds like he took a lot more risk and taking a lot of different sounds.
Is he like getting played on radio, like main wave radio?
I don't know about all that. I don't listen to radio, so I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he is. Yeah, because I know those guys. Like, I know Chris Stapleton's playing on mainstream.
Radio, yeah.
I think he's been on Letterman like twice.
But he's not on like the. Not country stations.
Yeah,
you know?
It's because he's not writing about dogs and trucks. He's writing about like psychedelics and
totally.
But yeah, you definitely should go check out that. I mean, if you ever want to hear what it sounded like, Waylon Jennings singing Nirvana, like that's pretty much.
That's awesome, man.
It's a killer tune, but I'm glad that these guys are getting some notoriety and stuff too with all of it. Like they. I've been a big fan of Chris's writing. I mean, talking about all those pop country, like all those Luke Bryan hits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Stapleton wrote all those songs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all like, if you look at any of those records, Chris is all over co-writing on all that stuff, and it's just cool to see that he's finally making it on his own and doing.
Yeah.
You know, I know he's been at it a long time with. The Steel Drivers, and you know, he's had a couple different bands and stuff, but now he's finally getting some success as a solo artist. But that Traveler record is unreal, man. It's and then I got to see him live at Firebird here in St. Louis, like right before he hit, like right before all that CMAs or whatever when he did with
Justin Timberlake,
when he sang with Justin, and that's what really, you know, put him on a national spotlight.
Yeah,
everybody
totally.
Everybody's like, "Who's this guy singing with Justin?" And I got to see him like, you know, just 2 months before that, and like it was in a small club. And even that night, I knew, like, I'm like, "This is the last time I'll ever see this guy in a club," because like, you know, he's so good, and like, and people are gonna start taking notice. And they, sure enough, they did. So I think he's playing like Peabody the theater next time he comes through. So, and I think it's like already sold out. So it's. Which is, I don't know. It's all Chris. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it's Chris, but like, I think a lot of it's they're all on StubHub now and stuff like that. People buy all these tickets up and try to jack all the prices up. And
yeah, he's got a big thing going for him right now, though, for sure. I mean, as soon as that Justin Timberlake thing happened, it was like, That's all it takes is something like that, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that would be cool, like, if you guys, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know how to do it, but I think I could hear some of that stuff. It'd be cool if, you know, just to, you know, have somebody take notice and want to buy one of your songs or whatever. Like, I think that, because that one, you know, we played there, like, you know, it's not too far off from, could be a modern country song.
That was close, yeah. Yes, I mean, like that. And I've been actually writing some more of that kind of stuff lately, because people freaking do like it. They like really just obviously catchy stuff, you know, and it's not necessarily what I listen to, but it's okay, and it's not like a big pain in the butt to write either, you know. Right. It's like the stuff that Phil writes, I don't even understand how he does sometimes. I could just rack my brain to get there. I'm like this. I'm just like, take a few chords and rhyme some stuff and whatever, you know.
Sure. Well, that's the old motto, isn't it? Something like country is just three chords and the truth, like that. So
I think I'm incapable of writing like three chord songs. Like, even if I wanted to and tried to, I wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah.
Something about my brain just wants to like do like the single note finger picking over like the weird darker melodic vocals. And Aaron can do that just as well, but he's a lot better at the poppier stuff.
Yeah. Well, I had a request. I remember, I don't know, a little while back I was on Facebook one day and somebody shared one of your guys' videos of you two sitting at the piano playing and singing together. And was it Since You Found Me?
Yeah, Ever Since You Found Me.
Yeah. If you guys, I guess it would be a little different on guitar, but I'd like to hear that if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Since you found me, I haven't been
do as I please, to take care of me, for me. And I hope you are doing fine. It's nothing personal, but it just wasn't right ever since you found me. Haven't been the same. I stopped being true to myself. Baby, it ain't okay. Ever since you found me, haven't been the same. Stop being true to myself. Baby, it ain't okay.
Good, guys.
Hey, thanks.
I like that blues, man. That a little blues lick in there.
Thanks.
Yeah, that sounded real nice.
It's Aaron's chubby shredding fingers.
That's right, boys.
Well, again, you can come see these guys at the house show on Saturday, and you can see them on Sunday at Highway 40 Brews in Wentzville, Missouri at 1 o'clock. And, again, you're playing with a local legend, Joe Bozzelli.
Yes, sir.
And, Joe Biz.
And, Maury Ave?
Maury Avenue, yeah.
So come out to that show. And is there any cover, or is that free? Or
it's
what?
A free show.
Free show, yeah. Hey, free Sunday fun day. Come on.
Exactly. How often do you have to go see a live show at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday?
Right.
And then you can get all pumped up for the blues game.
Yeah.
Be a good one.
Let's go Blues.
Feels like the St. Louis teams are always playing the teams that are from the region we live in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Giants. We always had that thing going with the Giants for a while. Right. So we're like these loners in our town in a sea of Giant fans. And now the Blues are playing the Sharks. And
yeah,
maybe that's about it because the Rams haven't been competitive for a really long time.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, now you got them over there.
Oh, that's what it is, because I'm a Packers fan, so now I'm amongst the Seahawks and Niners, so maybe it's just I always feel like I'm
right
on the outside looking in.
Yeah, now you don't have to go as far to go to a Rams game anymore. So.
I won't be going still.
Won't be going.
I don't know, man. It's, I'm a fan, but it's like also, it stinks when, I don't know. It's cool for the city, obviously, but it's like when you get some of these great shows in town, and then we have a term in town for getting baseball, and stuff like that. It's like if there's a good Cardinals game on, and or especially anything in October, don't bother booking anything in October because if there's Cardinals playoff baseball on, nobody's going to come out to your show. So.
Exactly, they're not going to want you to play there as a venue,
right? So. Yep. But I mean, like, again, it's awesome. I mean, I love the Cardinals and stuff, but I also love my music and stuff. So, so go on, thebrothersread.com, grab yourself a copy of, Sick as Folk and Monster in My Head. And if you want to hear, some of those live acoustic versions, of the three songs from the last time, you can find those on their episode 102, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
So you can hear some of that, of course. And then, so you guys, we talked a little bit about your video last time. Are you guys planning on doing another one, or?
Well, we did a EPK.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. It's like us at a barbershop, and it's like It's basically like an informative video,
sure.
A mini doc, you would say, almost, just about us and what we had coming up. So we did that video, and we've been brainstorming some things for a music video, and we started shooting for one of the ideas. But no, we've been so freakishly busy that we haven't had even like 2 open days to go shoot a video somewhere. So we've been trying to figure out what we want to do in place of that. But
I think there's a lot of, you know, besides, I mean, obviously, a professionally shot video is always awesome. But I think there's a lot of these, like I got some friends here even in town, they're doing some stuff like a buddy does a series called The Loft Sessions, and there's Loft Sessions in a lot of different towns, but they, you know, he records these videos in his loft, and then they, you know, professional quality and even mastered audio and stuff, and they create a really nice package for everybody, and you get a cool experience to see these songs, and of course they sound great too. And but I mean, I think, and I've seen like other, you know, friends touring around the country, and they meet up with other people in these towns, and they record these unique videos and stuff. These different YouTube series, like there's another one, Jam in the Van, I like a lot.
Yeah, and there's the Gondola and Sugar Shack Sessions.
Sure. So I mean, like, I think those are equally as cool as even making a professional video and stuff. Like, I think those are, you know, people get to hear the songs, and you get a, you know, a unique experience in for that particular video and stuff. So. So those are, I think those, but I think anything like that, I think, you know, besides people being able to click play on a song, you know, through anything, I think the videos really take it up a level to where you have a nice video people can watch.
It's, we just made a pretty nice little live video on I bought a decent camera, and we took a ferry to Orcas Island in the sounds of Upper Washington, and on the ferry we recorded Lonesome Bird off of Monster in My Head, and then I just threw it into some quick editing software, and it turned out pretty great. So that's on go on our Facebook. I'm gonna put it on the website soon, but it's on our Facebook right now, and it's a pretty neat video. It's kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Like, I mean, I know you guys are DIY a lot of it, so it's like, that's the thing, too. Like, it's really, you know, they've made all this editing software and the cameras and stuff where it's really not that difficult to make a you know, I mean, of course, not to discredit any of the pros doing it, but, I mean, like, you know, you can make a solid video on your own now.
Yeah, just to get something out
there. Right, sure.
Great,
Yeah. But yeah, so we got those, like I said, grab those records. You guys want to play a studio one, or you got one more live one you want to do, or what do you guys
want to do? No Regret or Unimportant Problem?
You mean to play a song off the CD, or
we can do whatever you want to do. What do you guys?
It's up to you.
Why is it up to me?
Let's do Unimportant. This is brand new song. This is going to be on the next record.
Here we go. Rock Paper Podcast exclusive.
Tell me down so I can figure out just how to say to you that your wild eyes, your string of lies only hardens me to you. I refuse to play any more your games, it's time to go away. Then you realize that all your tears don't matter much to me. For such an unimportant problem, it's such a big deal to you. If you took the time for once to try and solve it, then wouldn't have to listen to you. Just a sloth, nothing like the moth is life you've come to take. Now you blame your life on another time, they're ruining your mistakes. I hope someday you realize the world's a bigger place, and the struggles born on darker shores are worse than what you faced. Yeah, for such an unimportant problem, it's such a big deal. If you took the time for once to try and solve it, then I wouldn't have to listen to you.
nice surprise. One day I woke up all alone like you were never in my life. Wouldn't have to hear you whine about how you wish to find yourself, but you're too scared to really try. What a waste of time for such an unimportant problem. It's such a big beauty. If you took the time for once to try and solve it, then I wouldn't have to listen to such an unimportant problem. It's such a big duty. If you took the time for once to try and solve it, then I wouldn't have to listen to you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Again, Sunday, Highway 40 Brews, 1 o'clock. Joe Bazzelli, Maury Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
And then Saturday night, if you want to come out to the house party. Mm-hmm. And
info is on our Facebook.
Yeah. Thank you. And then grab the two records at thebrothersread.com. Follow them on Facebook.
Twitter, Instagram, yeah.
All over the...
all that.
All over the internets.
The interwebs. Yeah.
Well, cool, guys. I appreciate you hanging out again, man. This is always a good time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, great.
Maybe we'll do it again in 8 months with the next record. And
I think we will.
All right. Do it. Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Thanks, Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.